I want you to turn with me to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's interesting to notice earlier in that 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it said, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." There's a lot of people that heard the gospel preached all over the world today. But the word preached did not profit them. Wait a minute, I thought the word would not return void. There is a disclaimer that God puts on the word. You must mix faith with that word, else it becomes simply academic. The word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And he just goes on to say, harden not your hearts. I've been crying out to God for a number of years, God, deliver me from hardness of heart. We're concerned about hardness of arteries, but we need to be concerned about hardness of heart. That I can hear and hear and hear, but not hear, and everyone around me is receiving, and I've heard that before, I know it all. Let us fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. There was a crowd whose bones bleached in the wilderness. And there was a crowd that rose up and believed the word of God, and they went in to possess the land. Coming to church is not enough. Owning a Bible is not enough. Even going to Bible school is not enough. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot separate faith from the true gospel of the New Testament. You cannot do it. If I preach on hell, I'm preaching in faith that no one in this house is going to hell. Whatever I preach, if I'm preaching on purity, if I'm preaching on righteousness, my faith is going out there. Lord, let every life be changed who needs to change in this house today. Now, as we look at this, I want you to go with me over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe it's the Amplified that said it's the title deed of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, not by good works, but by their faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then, of course, as you go through Hebrews, the 11th chapter, every one of these great faith hearts, men and women, did what they did in faith, believing in obedience to the word of God. Notice especially verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. If we sing, we sing in faith. If we preach, we preach in faith. If we testify, we testify in faith. If we go out on the street, we minister, we exhort, we share in faith believing. Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Well, there's a lot of people that believe that God is, but they never read the rest of that verse. And that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God not only is, but God is a rewarder. God not only is God, but God is a rewarder. God is not a subtractor. God is an adder. God is a restorer. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Every one of these Hebrews 11 roll call of faith heroes did what they did, made the faith move they made, simply by faith in God's word. Now let's go back over to Isaiah chapter 55. And I thank God for this. This has encouraged me time and time and time again. I've been in it constantly here lately. But in Isaiah chapter 55, it shows us how this whole thing works. Like Mark, the 4th chapter, you plant the seed and the soil and the word of God comes forth and the harvest and the crop comes forth. But he says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So shall my word be. No doubt about it. You cannot find one hiccup or hesitation here. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Ladies and gentlemen, God lays it all on the line. And he said, if you receive my word in faith believing, don't just receive it academically, but receive the word in faith believing. It will not return void. It shall accomplish what God said it would, and it shall prosper in that. You may have had a good past. You may have had a rough past. You may be full of good works, or you may be a mess. But you can put every sin and every misgiving of the past under the blood of Jesus. And from this day forward, you can come out. Amen? So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Isaiah said it, and Peter said it. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. So I just want you to get this thing. Well, Brother Nichols, you just never know how the word works. God's word said, my word. What are you talking about? My word that goeth forth out of my mouth. If we can find out what came out of God's mouth, then we're in business. This is not old wives' fables. This is not old German theology. This is not some mystical Eastern religion. If I can find the words that come out of the mouth of God, I can see those words come to pass. The words that come out of God's mouth. Where are the words that came out of God's mouth? It's in two volumes called the Old and the New Testament. Well, Professor so-and-so said this. The Bible said it. I settled it years ago. If it comes down to it, let every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl be a liar, but let God be true. If what they say contradicts the word of God, doesn't mean you go up and pick a fight with them. Doesn't mean you say something ugly to them. It doesn't mean you act unkind or unchristlike. But in your heart, you just say, on this issue, the man's a liar. He doesn't know whereof he speaks. Because my faith is in the Word of God. This church is built on the Word of God. If you were to take away what I'm ministering tonight, I wouldn't have anything to stand on. Let's go back to Matthew, the 8th chapter. I'll tell you, talk about revelation, knowledge, and insight. So when Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. And he said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I mean, this is so simple. I will come and heal him. It doesn't say that he's a righteous man, he's a good man, that he has alms, or that he's done all these great things. Jesus just said, I'll come and heal him. No problem. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But I tell you what, Lord, you speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And then he goes on to share the analogy. He said, I'm a man under authority. And I want to say this, that anybody we have on staff here today understands authority. The ultimate criteria for leadership here is that we understand authority. This is a team effort. I can't do everything I want to do. There's things I don't do because it wouldn't be best for the body or wouldn't be best for the team. It's not a matter of life and death, just a matter of preferences. There's times I can't do certain things I want to do, but it's okay. There's so much else I can do. There's so many other wonderful things that I get to do, that I can do, that I just don't worry about the little things. Just don't let the small stuff get you down. So the man said, I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers. I say to this man, go. And he goes. And I say to another, come. And he comes. And to my servant, do this. And he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, I mean, this man just walks in. He said, I've got a servant. He needs to be healed. He said, you can heal him, Lord, if you will. Jesus said, I'll settle that. I will. And Jesus said, I'll just go heal him. I'll just go out there and heal him. And the man is so kind and so considerate. He says, no, you don't even have to go to my house. You're a busy man. Other people need you. He said, Lord, I just believe. I just believe. He said, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. I'm a man under authority. I'll tell you, this man had it together. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now, don't you think that anything that made Jesus to marvel is bound to be worthy of our consideration here for a few moments? I mean, if Jesus yawned and went to sleep, well, you'd say, well, I guess that bored him. But Jesus marveled. Jesus marveled here. And he said, verily I say unto you, I've not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Don't you understand that if Jesus marveled at something and said, I've not found so great a faith in all of Israel, that I just may learn something if I get into what Jesus is preaching and teaching about. He is the teacher. He is the master teacher. I'm talking about the power of God's Word. There used to be a broadcast, Back to the Bible, Back to the Bible. Wonderful people did a great job. I haven't heard the program in years. I used to hear it so often many years ago. But let me tell you this, and this is not knocking that program, but only the phrase, Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible is not good enough. Just going back and reading academically the Word of God is not good enough. You got to do more than go back. You got to get into and believe and speak the Word. And I'm not knocking those people. I just use that as an illustration. It's not just back to something. Everybody's always going back to something, back to something. I'm in the army that's going forward to something. I'm in Joel's army. I'm believing for sons and daughters, men and women, the power of God to be poured out. But you see, the power of God's Word can only be ignited through the power of the spoken word of faith. The power of God's Word can only be ignited through the power of the spoken word of faith. Yes, God says it. I believe it. I believe it's a fact. But facts do not change your life. It's faith facts that change your life. They said Khrushchev could quote the four Gospels by memory. That bloody butcher that pounded his old ugly shoe. In the United Nations, the one that said, if there's a God in heaven, we'll bring him down when we go into outer space. He knew it academically at one time in the early days of his life, but he was not following in the footsteps of the Jesus of the four Gospels. The power of God's Word can only be ignited through the power of the spoken word of faith. And you cannot speak the word only without speaking the word in faith. You cannot speak the word only without speaking in faith. I know I'm repeating some things, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you're just like I am. I didn't get everything I heard the first time, and I'm still working on some things. And every time I hear it, it gets a little bit stronger. Every time I hear it, it becomes a little more solidified in my spirit. Church is more than just a man standing up preaching a Spurgeon masterpiece. Church is more than some dry teacher just grinding out the Old or the New Testament. And academically what they're saying is right and it's true. But there's no living value. There's no living virtues. The Word's got to come alive in your spirit if it's going to help you. You need God's Word quickened in your spirit by faith. I want to tell you, God can change any man, any woman, any father, any mother, any boy, any girl. God can change anybody. I don't care how rough your past has been. God can change you. And you can reverse the curse. And for the rest of your life, your family can be known for righteousness, not unrighteousness. What the world needs is Jesus. What we need is Jesus. Break the chains of drug and the chains of immorality and the chains of alcohol and the chains of political corruption and just come out and be a Jesus family. What the world needs is Jesus. This is who I am. This is what the church is. This is what we're all about. Now, I know there's been some goofy stuff under the name of faith. And I know there's been some goofy stuff under, quote, prosperity. And there's been some goofy stuff, you know, in a lot of things. But deadness is goofy too. Deadness will kill you. So we don't have to apologize for the gospel we preach around here. You see how Joe and I live. You see what we've done. You see where we're coming from, what we're trying to do, and where our hearts are. I'm not worried about the goofy side of it. I'm not worried about the goofy side. I remember old Dr. Lester Summerall, someone said, well, you part of that hyper faith bench? He said, if you can show me any way how to be more hyper, I'll be more hyper in faith every day of my life. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You just can't get into this too strong. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not please man, not please the denomination, not please society. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now we're into this thing. We want to be nice to all religions and we're all just one happy family. And all roads lead to God. And so now we're giving full page advertisements to false cults that are sending people to hell by the thousands and by the millions. We're trying to be fair with everybody. The gospel is not fair to everybody. In this respect, it's Jesus or hell. It's heaven or hell. It's faith or judgment. There's no tolerance in the Bible. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You perish if you don't have Jesus. The church can't save you. As wonderful as Mary was, I don't think we say enough about her. She was a wonderful woman. But Mary cannot save you. Peter cannot save you. Paul cannot save you. James cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So shall my word be. Don't let the devil put an if in your spirit. If is the badge of unbelief. If is the badge of unbelief. Watch your mind wandering off, trying to analyze, philosophize, trying to figure everything out. Faith is so strange. You don't figure it out, you just believe it. Someone said, Billy, I don't understand the Bible. He said, there's so much of it I don't understand. But he said, what I do understand, I believe, and what I don't understand, I believe. Abraham received the Son of Promise by faith in God's Word. He tried it by the flesh. We've all tried the route of the flesh in some way of our life. But Abraham received the real Son of Promise by faith in God's Word. Didn't happen until he believed God. Abraham and Sarah tried to have it through the bondwoman, but it didn't work. They got a son, but it wasn't God's first choice. I said they got a son. I don't want just something. I want the will of God. If I know the will of God, I'll choose the will of God every time. If I know the will of God, in fact, that's my daily prayer. Not my will, but thy will be done. Noah built an ark by faith and entered the ark by faith. And the ark floated by faith. And Noah and his family and the animals that entered were all saved by faith in God's word. God said, do it. Noah said, I'll do it. He built an ark. Took him a long time to do it. But one day it started to rain. He became the wisest man in the world. What was left of it? Israel crossed dry shod by faith in God's word. Now, my middle brother Paul, Paul's kind of quiet and laid back. When he says something, you can count on it. Paul doesn't palaver. Paul's a good brother. He was out in TCU and graduated from TCU with his Master of Business. And Paul, of course, you appreciate that. He's an alumni. But you know, one day in religion class, comparative religions, the professor said, well, he said concerning Moses crossing the Red Sea, he said, really, that's not a big thing. He said, you know, it's been scientifically proved that there was only, I think he said, 6 inches of water, 12, I don't remember the exact, but it's been scientifically proved that only 12 inches of water, 6 inches of water, maybe even 18 inches of water at that time in that season. So it really was no big deal, you know, for chariots and for people to walk through 12 inches of water, whatever, no big deal. Well, my brother, the only time I knew that he really lifted his hand and said something like that, lifted his hand, he said, Professor, and he said, yes, Paul. He said, you know, Professor, I'm just sitting here thinking that makes it a much greater miracle after all that all the chariots and all the horses and all the armies of Pharaoh drowned in 6 or 12 inches of water. He said, you know, that's a greater miracle than I thought it was. And he changed the subject, didn't even... Well, if he had to, God can drown the armies of Pharaoh, the chariots, the horses. If he had to, he can do it in 12 inches of water. Oh, they crossed over dry shod because God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Quit coming apart at the seams. Get yourself together. Sit down and get yourself a cup of hot tea. Get yourself together. Settle down, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. For the enemy you see today, you'll see them again no more. And the Lord shall fight for you and hold your peace. And they opened their eyes, they looked, and dry shod. The waters are rolled up on either side. And my Bible tells me they went across dry shod. And when they were on the other side, and the armies of Pharaoh said, no problem, let's go for it. And they got right out just in the center of that thing, and God said, let it go, angels, let it go. And Pharaoh and all of his army were just floating around, one mass of humanity, and horses, and machines, and chariots, and whatever. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. And God will do what no other power can do. It's no problem for God. Your biggest nightmare is no problem for God. Your biggest fear is no problem for God. Your biggest nightmare is no problem for God. No problem, man. That's what they say in the Caribbean. No problem. No problem. Israel crossed dry shod by faith in God's word. Jericho's walls fell by faith in God's word. Can't you see a bunch of charismatics walking around saying nothing? But now, you talk about the ultimate discipline decision. Can't you imagine for 6 days charismatics walking around, Pastor Bob wanting to shout or bark or do something, you know, glory to God, you know. Somebody do something, lest we do nothing. But God said this time you walk. In faith believing. You know, faith can be quiet. Never said that before, but that's interesting. Faith can be quiet. Sometimes faith is so noisy you miss the point. Sometimes it's good to zip the lip and lock into faith and say, watch it, Lucy. You're headed for a disaster. Going to walk these walls just like God said. We're not going to shout. We're not going to talk. We're not going to gossip. We're not going to complain. We're not going to criticize. We're going to walk these walls. 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 And then God said, now when you get through with that, then there's a day when you shout. Oh, get ready, saints. The shouting days are coming. Some of you have been walking, man, it's been hard. It's been hard. It's been hot. It's been difficult. But oh, thank God, get ready. The shouting march is getting ready to begin. And you know, Malachi's blessings come by faith obedience to God's word. It's not a trick formula. It's not just an automatic formula. You need to put your tithe in like a slot machine and, you know, you get 3 carrots or 3 apples or something like that. That's not the way it is. Malachi's blessings come by faith. You got to believe it. Got to believe it. Got to believe it. Got to believe it. You cannot speak the word only without speaking the word in faith believing. You cannot speak the word only without speaking the word in faith believing. What I'm talking about tonight, academics are not enough. Now we found out from Isaiah 55 that God's word, when you believe it, accomplishes what pleases God. It doesn't accomplish your pet project. It doesn't change the person you want to change. It doesn't bring to pass your pet project. God's word accomplishes what pleases God. And when you get on a project that pleases God, you're headed for a blessing. Now, there's some other things that we need to just summarize. The moment I start speaking God's word, I start coming out. The moment I start speaking God's word, I start coming out. Now, I think there's something that all of us need to really be aware of. Because I know Joy and I are very conscious of this during these days. Not only that we need a miracle at home, but all the things that God's called us to do. But you know, a lot of people mixed with God's word. See, not only does God want to move mountains for you or cross seas or bring miracles to pass. God wants to change you. And God wants to change me. And I mean, you are sadly deceived if you don't think there's areas of your life where you need to change. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. Folks, the name of the game is change. I found out that you can just tweak a little attitude, just a little bit. You can just change an attitude. Well, they're not going to tell me what to, huh? Well, okay, just hang in there and get nothing. God's dealing with attitudes. God's dealing with issues of the heart. God's dealing with attitudes. And there's not a one of us in this house, but there's some way little tweaking needs to be done in our spirit. I mean, your grandmama may have acted like that. Your granddaddy may have acted like that. Your mama may have acted like that. But it's time you grow up and quit making the same dumb mistakes that your family made. Thank God for the good part of your family, but there's not one of our families, but what there's some good things we need to hold on to and some bad things we need to let go. Well, this is just the way all our family acts. Yeah, that's why you're all in a mess. Folks, we've got to change. I mean, every day, God knows my heart as I speak to you. Every day, many times a day, I say, God, change me today your way. Change me, Lord. Change me. Change the way I see things. Get me in line with your word, Lord. It doesn't make a bit of difference what I think about it. What does God think about it? So, the name of the game has changed. The moment I start speaking God's word, my miracle is in motion. The moment I start speaking God's word in faith believing, my miracle is in motion. I didn't say it was complete, but I said it's in motion. It's in motion. It's in motion. Some of you are so frustrated. You've canceled your miracle so many times, the angels think of asking for a new assignment. I mean, the angels headed from the throne of grace with the answer to what you've been crying out for God for. And I mean, you open your mouth and stick both feet into it, and the angel says, right back to the throne. Someone had a vision or a dream, and they said there's a gigantic warehouse out there somewhere of all the stuff that angels were on the way to deliver to us, and our mouth shot us out of receiving from God. I wonder what God's on the way with tonight. Oh, the only way my life will change is to speak the word of God. That's good. The only way my life will change is to speak the word of God. I believe in the prophetic word. And I've received prophetic words over my life and over this church at strategic times. A real word from God, it may take a while, it will come to pass. But what I'm saying is, so many people get so crazy with this thing. I need a word from, have you got a word from God? If you ask for a word from God long enough, you'll get a word of man instead of a word of God. If you'll seek God, a word from God will overtake you. And you'll hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in. Oh, yeah, yeah, I see that, Lord. Praise God. If you're just seeking a prophecy, you'll hook into some strange spirit somewhere along the way. You'll get a word. You'll get a word. But I'll leave that one alone. That's not the word you want. But let me tell you how you can always get a word from God. You know, we just sat down this morning and we went through Isaiah 55. I can get a word from God every time I open this book. If you just read long enough, there's not a book in the Bible that doesn't come out on the high side of faith and victory. Not a book in the Bible. If you just read the Bible long enough, you get a word from God. And let me tell you, one word from God will change your life. One word from God can send you around the world and bring you home again safely. One verse, one word, one promise from God made rhema in your spirit is greater than any prophecy that any man or woman could ever give you anywhere on the face of this universe. You got a more sure word of prophecy. It's called the Holy Bible. It's called God's Word. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing stronger in this universe than when God makes His Word real to you and it makes a direct hit in your spirit. Never will forget the morning. Isaiah 50 verse 7. I was reading, honey, in our other house, and I got up early coming to morning prayer, and I was reading, and it said, for the Lord God will help me. Dear Lord, I almost had a private rapture. For the Lord God will help me. Well, what do I need with anything else then? The Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be confounded. I'll not be ashamed. I'm coming through. I'm not going under. I'm going over. The Lord God will help me. Stop looking for a man to help you. Start looking for God's help. Just let God be God. You miss a blessing when you say, well, my blessing's going to come through so-and-so. Now, let God be God. So, read the Word of God until it becomes rhema to you. Isaiah's my Old Testament pastor. I just can't read far in Isaiah without just running into something that just, whoo, my spirit just comes alive. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. That'll help you on a rough day. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will help thee, I will strengthen thee. I will hold you up with the right hand of my righteousness. Where'd the devil go? Instead of running from him, you want to run him out of town. Oh, read the word of God until it becomes rhema to you. Read the word of God until it becomes rhema to you. Now, I mean, you may just read along and read along, and you may read several verses, several chapters, but if you'll read long enough, you'll get a word from God. How many understand what I'm saying? You believe you understand where I'm... If you read long enough, you're going to get a word from God. And when you get it, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can talk you out of it. The only way my life is going to change is to start speaking the word only about the things in my life. Hell, I tell you, things will never change around my place. Yeah, you're digging in deeper every day. It always happens to somebody else. All those stories, they talk about that tithe and an offering stuff. It's always somebody else, and your mouth is digging your grave just deeper every day. Come on. The only way my life is going to change is to speak the word only. Well, I thank God for God blessing brother, sister, so-and-so. But you know, I just may be the next in line. Praise God. I believe my praise report just may be the next one pastor may read. Let's read on. The only way my life will change is to speak the word only. If you don't like what you see today, just check me out tomorrow, next week, next month. I'm changing. You know, sometimes people just, I don't know, people you think you're worse than you are, you're better than you are. You know, people have all kinds of idealistic ways of looking at things. But you know, I thank God, helped us to celebrate our wedding anniversary. And you know, I don't understand all this. I'm changing and joy is changing. And you know, this thing gets more interesting all the way. I don't know how Joy could be any better, but man, she's figured out some ways to change. And she's just getting more interesting every day. And she tells me that I'm changing, so maybe my changing is making her want to change. Boy, marriage is boring when you get set in your ways. Fun comes through change. Growth comes through change. Miracles come through change. The word becoming rhema comes through change. Guys, just pick up a dozen roses and bring them home to your wife. And when she passes out in the spirit, and fan her until she wakes back up. Buy her a present when it's not your birthday or anniversary, you know. Stop buying her a present for your birthday. I mean, buy a present for her birthday. Confession of the word is agreeing with what the Father has already said in His word. How many understand that? Confession of the word is agreeing with what the Father has already said. Confession of the word is not me conjuring up some con formula to slick talk God out of something. Confession of the word is agreeing with what God's already said. You know, I discovered it, but I had to rediscover it several times because I was hard-headed growing up. It took me a little while to figure it out that things went good in the Nichols house if I did what pleased the Father. I don't know why I couldn't get that straight the first time. But I'd get my own ideas and I'd want to do my own thing. And what Dad wanted me to do was not the important agenda that day. And he'd come home from work and I was supposed to have done it. But I found that things went better when I pleased the Father. God said when our ways please the Lord that even our enemies will be at peace with us. And if you know and speak in faith what God says, you can go anywhere and be a success. There's millions of people that would like to do certain things. But you see, if you know and speak in faith what God says, you can go anywhere and be a success. And God can and God will turn it around for those who speak the word only. You know, I believe this with all of my heart. There's not a mess in this auditorium tonight in anyone's life that God cannot totally turn around and change. Be it business, be it marriage, personalities. You know, most people just cause most of their own problems by their own personality disorders. I mean, I look out sometimes, I wish I could just go out and grab some people by the throat and shake them and say, if you'd listen to me, really listen and do what I'm telling you, I could change your life in 15 minutes. Some folks here, I could change your life in 5 minutes if they'd just listen. But they dug in. Do the same thing I've been doing. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to. Bless God, I got the word under each arm. Me change? No, preach, you change. Everybody else in this church needs to change. Not me. Not me. And you just keep slamming against walls. You keep tripping over both feet. And you just keep losing everything you got. And just keep making a mess of things. And your dreams fall at your feet. And you just think, my God, what's wrong? I'll tell you, you don't do it by doing it your way. You do it by doing it God's way. And it starts right where your feet are right now. Right where you are. God can and will turn it around for those who speak the word only. That man walked in, his servant needed a healing, needed a miracle of God. And the man walked in, and before he walked away from Jesus, thank God that miracle was in motion. It's worth the change. It's worth the change. You know, I found out in travel, I mean, God's blessed me, and yeah, it's God's favor and God's blessing, but let me give a little illustration of what I just got through saying. I was coming back from London a few years ago, but you know, I came up and I just thought, God, it'd be so nice to get a good aisle seat. And so I went up to the girl, and I'm waiting, and there's about three or four people in front. They were giving that poor girl fits. Oh, I just felt embarrassed. They were rude, they were crude, they were ugly, they were short, they were demanding, they were just... It was just cheap. It was just, you know, people get, sometimes they just get somebody under them and they're just going to rub it in. And by the time I got there, I thought, man, I don't know whether to open my mouth or not. When I got there, I said, ma'am, I said, I'm so sorry for the rudeness and the crudeness of these people here. And she said, well, what do you want? I said, well, I hate to ask anything after all this going on. I said, you sure have been doing a good job of handling some very peculiar people. And I said, I just like a good aisle seat. And she looked at me and she said, well, I think I can do better than that. I think I'll just upgrade you to business class. And I said, okay. She said, I have the power to do that. And the four in front of me were demanding the same thing. And she said, no. I treated her nicely. You know, it's amazing how far you can go by just treating people kindly. People need a kind word. People are hurting. Everybody needs some strokes. Everybody needs someone to be kind and to at least act like you care. And I mean, I didn't know what all the... She said, yeah, those others said they wanted the same thing. She said, I wasn't going to give them nothing. Nothing. And she gave them nothing. And they walked away mad and there wasn't a thing in the world they could do about it. And here I got on the plane and I'm going up to business class. Glory to God. And I got up to business class. Now... Before I left London, I'd planted some tithe seed. I'd planted some seed. The pastor there needed a suit, and we went out to a warehouse there, and I bought him a couple of suits. And I just felt led to do it. I couldn't afford to do it. I had to charge it at that time, but I just felt like doing it. So I'd already planted some seed. And so when I get on the plane, I'm going, and I get to my seat, and there's the sweetest little old lady. She's got her little knitting, all the things that ladies do when they knit. You know, they got their little, all this paraphernalia. And she was sitting there, she looked up, and she said, is this your seat? I said, well, ma'am, let me see. Yes, it is. And she said, oh, please. She said, I feel so comfortable. I've never flown before. I feel so comfortable in this seat. Please, I don't want to leave this seat. I feel comfortable here. I'm not afraid here. She didn't want to move seats. And the lady came up about that time. She said, ma'am, she said, we got something wrong here. She said, obviously, your daughter bought you a first class seat. And she said, this isn't your seat. You're to move up to first class. And now she really became panic stricken. She said, oh, no. She said, I don't know what that is, but I don't want to go there. I feel so good right here. And I mean... had tears in her eyes, and she had her little goodie bags. I mean, she was set up for the trip, you know. And she said, why don't you just let this nice man have my seat? And I said, yeah, why don't you let this nice man have her seat? And the flight attendant got hot and testy. She said, this man's trying to get your seat. She said, oh no. She said, if he'll take my seat, I'll be so happy because I feel so good in this seat. First of all, I sowed seed, not knowing what was coming. And then I was just nice to somebody and she said, well, I'm just going to move you up to business class. And then I got to my seat and this little lady was sitting in that seat. She felt so good in that seat and she didn't want to move. And then her daughter had bought a first-class seat, and the flight attendant was livid. She said, don't you realize that there's good money that's going to be wasted on this man? And she said, oh, no, ma'am, he's a nice man. Said, if he'll just go up there, I'm just very happy, very happy, very happy. First time in my life, I'm up in first class, and ain't God good? Just look what the Lord has done. I've learned a lot of lessons. Just be nice to people. Be nice to people. Just be nice. Even in church, just be nice to people. Love them. Show them the love of God. Feel sorry for them. You know, God can and God will turn it around for those who speak the word only in faith believing. You can power your way through anything through faith in God's word. You can power your way through anything. You can power your way out of anything. It's the power of God's almighty word. I mean, the enemy comes in like a flood and he hits you where it hurts the most. And he takes something that you just thought, how in the world can this work? And I mean, he just smashes your dreams. It just seems like everything goes right. But oh, praise God, just get that word of God. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void. It will accomplish what I send it to do. It's going to prosper in the thing. Oh, just put it in four-wheel drive and put the pedal to the metal and just power out. Power out! Just come out of it. Get over it. Just forget it. Come out. You can power your way out to victory. You can power your way through anything. You can power your way out of anything. Speak the word only. Yeah.